Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I was thinking about our conversations over the last several days about The Hurt and the Healer, this book by Andrew Farley and Bart Millard, and just the content of that. And the fact that we all hurt, we all go through trials and tribulations of life. We're either hurting now, we're going to hurt sometime in the future, we've just come out of a painful experience in life. That's just being a human in this world. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what if we could have a conversation with Paul and reach out to him and ask him to help us? What would he bring to the table? How would he minister to us? And I think Scripture is pretty clear as far as an answer to that question. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, "He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." I think whatever situation that we would be going through, if we went to Paul, he would minister to us the new covenant. He would speak those truths of God's love and grace into our hearts, into our lives, giving us a measure of hope, an anchor for our souls, and some very practical help to get through whatever we were going through. That's what we need, the ministry of the new covenant. That's why we're on air every single day, to bring that ministry into listeners' lives, to talk about all the wonders of God's grace is contained in this thing called the new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in at his death on the cross 2,000 years ago. At that moment, everything changed. We have a new covenant that now governs our relationship with Christ. It's a covenant of grace, and in that grace is the healing that we need.
Absolutely. And friends, we have a copy of The Hurt and the Healer for you for a gift of any amount this month. And all you need to do is simply go online to basicgospel.net to request your copy and make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. 1-800-727-2828, The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. How are you, Duran?
I'm fine. How are you, Bob?
Well, doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I had a question about 1 John 4:10, and I've been struggling with that for years about people saying that they love God and I love God. And I keep thinking about the scripture. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us, because I can't love God. The way I see that scripture is you can't love God in your flesh, but my renewed spirit loves God. And, I just struggle with that for years, because I remember in the old covenant, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the thing is, we can't do that. So maybe you can kind of clear that for me.
Well, I'll talk about a verse back in the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. "The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live." So there's this command of God to love him and to love others, and that's a command that's impossible to us. We couldn't live up to the Ten Commandments. And when you look at those, the first four would talk about loving God, and the remainder would be about loving others. And we fail on all accounts. We cannot love God. We cannot love others. Why? Because we're bound up in sin and death. We have hearts that are evil, that are going astray, that are moving away from God, not toward God, that are controlled by sin, mastered by the philosophies of this world. So for us to love God, something has to happen to our hearts. And that's what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection. When we respond to that by faith, our hearts are circumcised in such a way that we can receive the love of God, and in receiving the love of God, we can in turn love God back. That's why we must be born again. That's why the spiritual birth is essential for us to, you know, be a part of the kingdom of God, to be children of God, but to also carry out the command of God to love Him and to love others.
Okay, well, I guess I'm trying to understand. I guess Satan's trying to, you know, beat me up with it. I'm trying to see. So I know God is supposed to produce that in and through us, the love that He has, and He creates that in us to show others and to love Him. But I'm trying to see. So is Christ? I know the Christ in me loves God. But it's not me that loves Him. It's the spirit that's living in me that loves Him, or what?
Well, He's working in you so that you can love Him, and you express that love not in a feeling, but in this attitude of faith. When you abide in Jesus Christ, when you walk by faith, that is an expression of your love for God.
Oh, okay.
So he says that right in the chapter before. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So
right.
Our faith in Jesus Christ is an expression of our love to Him. What is faith? It is our response to God's love that has been poured out upon us in Jesus.
Okay, I understand that now, because the only thing that pleases Him is faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross.
Right. So faith, our faith in Christ is an expression of our love toward Him. And it is showing that our hearts that were once unbelievers, the direction of our heart was away from God, but now, because of the gospel message, our hearts are being directed toward Him in faith, and that's a sign that we truly love Him.
Okay, I understand that. Now, so the people that's under the law and saying, you got to live right, you got to do this, you got to pay tithes, and they turn around and say, I love God. So that's not true, is it? It can't be.
Well, if you're under the law, if you're lost, dead in sin, And you can be, you know, dead in sin in a pagan way, or you can be dead in sin in a religious way. If it's a religious way, it's a legalistic way, it's a law-based way. And in either case, your whole focus of attention is you. You're self-centered, you're selfish. You get the laws, you write them down, you commit in your heart to living up to those laws. At the end of the day, you're asking the question, how did I do? How did I do? No talk about God, no talk about Jesus. It's all about you. And if you haven't done so well, then you start looking at somebody else to see if you've done better than they have. And so you become very judgmental or condemning toward other people. So that's a very self-centered way to live. It's only the grace of God that frees us from ourselves so that we can actually have hearts that are directed toward God.
Oh, okay. Well, you cleared that up for me. Thank you.
You're welcome, Daron. Thanks for your call. Great question.
1-800-677-9377. We have lots of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. We want to address your question or your situation on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Richmond, California, and talk with D.C. listening to us on KDIA. Hi, D.C.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How can we help you today?
I'm all right. I had a question for you, Mr. Christopher. How long did Jesus have to suffer, and for how long, and why do we have to suffer?
Well, D.C., good question. As far as the sufferings of Christ, We normally look at that starting in the Garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. Ending at his death. Richard, how long of a time frame was that?
12 to 15 hours, something like that, depending on, you know, when the Garden of Gethsemane thing started. But it was a very long night and a day for him.
Yeah, and it's not so much the length of time that we need to really look at as far as Jesus is concerned, but exactly what he suffered.
Yes.
The fact that he took upon himself the sins of the world. That is something that we just cannot taste or know or experience at all. And what that truly meant to suffer the entire wrath of God, the entire punishment for sin went upon Jesus. That's just something that we will never fully comprehend or understand, but that's what Jesus suffered on our behalf. When we live in this world, we're going to have people that are against us, just as they were against Jesus. We're going to have that attitude expressed toward us as well. And as a result, we're going to suffer in this world. I mean, you just look at, our situation in this country right now. Folks make fun of Christians. They mock our beliefs. They say we're archaic, prudish, all of those things. So we have that level of suffering that we experience here in this country. You look around the world, just in Egypt, for example, most of those that have died in Egypt, they've been Coptic Christians. They've been targeted by the Muslim Brotherhood specifically because they are Christians. They are believers in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus said that was going to happen to us in this world. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us as well. But there's going to be a point in time where all that's going to be taken away. All of that will be avenged. All things will be made right. And we will experience the glory that we were set apart to experience. So as Paul said, this present suffering does not compare to the weight of glory we will experience when Christ returns.
Okay. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, thank you, DC.
Well, again, 1-800-677-9377. Some time on the clock. Give us a call. We want to hear from you.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, and talk with Vincent. Hi, Vincent.
Hello, Vincent.
Well, Vincent has a question, I think, about Christians and the Church of Latter-day Saints. It's a pretty good question. You know, are we one? You know, do we share the same belief system? Do we worship the same God? All of those questions are, you know, out there on the table when it comes to that, and it's certainly made very evident, in the last presidential mm-hmm. election. So are the two the same? Is somebody that has Mormon beliefs, do they believe in the Jesus of the Bible? Richard, how would you answer that?
I'd have to say they don't. The two belief systems are quite different. We as Christians believe that Jesus is fully God and was fully human and lived and died and rose again on our behalf. The Mormon belief system says that Jesus was a God, that he became a God because of his performance. And therefore he acts as, he becomes an example for us so that we too can become gods. Those two statements are antithetical. Jesus can't be the only way to God because he is God and he is our Savior. And at the same time, be somebody just like me who, because of his performance, became a God. That you can't have those two statements together in one belief system.
Yeah. So Mormonism is not grace-based at all.
No,
it's just performance-based religion.
Yeah.
And you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and hopefully you've done enough to gain eternal rewards. Christ, as far as the Bible is concerned, reaches down to us in grace and saves us
yes.
and gives us new life in him so that we could be fully human. That's what God wants for us. He created us as humans. He wants us to be fully human, mm-hmm. to experience what he intended for us. Mormonism says, no, we start out as humans and we can evolve into something different.
Yeah.
Deity is what they say. So those two can't be both right.
Right.
One's, you know, they can both be wrong, but they can't both be right. Well, hope that helps, Vincent. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Emma in Watsonville, California. Hi, Irma.
Hi. I have a question because I always, when I text my friend, I just say, God's love, how are you doing? And somebody told me that that's not the right, that I shouldn't be saying that because I'm blaspheming God. And I don't mean to blaspheme him. I didn't think I was doing something wrong. I just felt that God loves us, and he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. So that's why I would say, you know, God's love, what are you doing? You know, because he loves us all. We're all God's love. That's the way I look at it.
Well, there's a couple of points there. One, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy that the Bible speaks of is ultimately the rejection of Jesus Christ. So we have this offer of life in Christ made available to us as a result of his work in death, burial, and resurrection. And we can reject that. And a lot of people do it with an adamant attitude, with a very rebellious, hostile attitude. And they speak foul of God in the sense that they are attributing this gospel message to the work of Satan. That becomes the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the rejection of Christ Jesus. So there's that part. But as far as, you know, God is love and we're love and all of that sort of thing, no, God is distinct and separate from his creation. Jesus Christ came from above. He entered into our realm so that we could be saved. And that incarnation, that death on the cross was a demonstration of God's love for us. So it's a tangible thing. It's God acting on our behalf, doing something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And when we respond to that, that's when we're saved. And we have an opportunity, once we're saved, to pass on that love, not the warm, fuzzy feelings that we so often think of love, but the actual actions of love, doing things that will benefit others, that will point them in the right direction as far as their relationship with Christ is concerned. So I think it's very important for us to maintain this truth that God is separate from the universe and he's made himself known in the person of Christ Jesus. We get a chance to experience that by faith in him. So Irma, as far as you blaspheming God, I don't think that's the case at all.
So I could still say, what are you doing, God's love? Or God's love, what are you doing? Or when I call
somebody else God's love, that's you're calling them God's love?
Or are you just mm-hmm. wishing them God's love?
No, I'm wishing, I guess. I mean, because that person believes in God and everything, but that person is like, it's not reading the Word anymore, or like doesn't make time for God anymore. It's like today I was telling that person that he's too worried about. Material things of the world and forgetting about the kingdom of God, that he says that he would search first the kingdom of God and its justice and everything else would be given unto you. That's what I was telling person.
Well, Irma, I guess the biblical terminology, you know, if somebody has come to Christ by faith, now they are children of God. And the truth mm-hmm. is that the love of God has been lavished upon them, has been poured into their hearts. They're not love. They're just children of God that have received the love of God. and have an opportunity to express that to others. Well, Irma, thanks for your call today. Certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley, just to say thanks for being on today's program. So you hold the line.
Well, everybody, thank you for being a part of this one, and thank you for listening, those of you who tuned in but did not call. We appreciate the fact that you did, in fact, join us for this edition of Basic Gospel. I want you to please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is supported only through your prayers and gifts, and for the remainder of the month, as one way to say thank you for your generous gift in any amount, we're going to send you a copy of this excellent book, The Hurt and the Healer by Andrew Farley and Bart Millard. Fear, loneliness, broken homes, broken hearts, we all hurt. We all need healing. But where do we find it? Well, Bart and Andrew have written this book, The Hurt and the Healer, to show the way. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and your request for the copy, why, go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Billy will be glad to take your call and fulfill your request. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Reminder also that when you're on the website, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you use social media, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. We'll be back for another edition tomorrow. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a particular Bible question that you just can't quite understand, we'll be glad to address your call, and we hope that you'll make it early in the broadcast tomorrow. Till then, for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis, God bless you, and goodbye from Dallas.